Welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the Classical Music Series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the 2017 and 2018 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for the performance by the North Carolina Symphony on September 22nd and 23rd at 8 p.m. at Maymantle Concert Hall, the Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. The first concert of the new 2017-18 season will be conducted by Grant Llewellyn. The guest soloist will be pianist Natasha Paremski. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony begins with Sergei Rachmaninoff's The Rock, the Fantasy for Orchestra, Opus 7, and this is an all-Rachmaninoff concert. That will be followed by Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, Opus 43, and that's the one that will feature Natasha Paremski as the guest pianist. Following the intermission, the symphony will return to the stage with Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances, Opus 45. First, we begin with some background on the guest soloist for this concert. With her consistently striking and dynamic performances, pianist Natasha Paremski reveals astounding virtuosity and voracious interpretive abilities. She continues to generate excitement from all corners as she wins over audiences with her musical sensibility and flawless technique. Born in Moscow, Natasha moved to the United States at the age of 8 and became a U.S. citizen shortly thereafter. She is now based in New York. Natasha was awarded several very prestigious artist prizes at a very young age, including the Gilmore Young Artist Prize in 2006 at the age of 18, the Prix Mont Blanc in 2007, the Orpheum Stiftung Prize in Switzerland. In September 2010, she was awarded the Classical Recording Foundation's Young Artist of the Year. Her first recital album was released in 2011, and it debuted at number 9 on the Billboard Traditional Classical chart. In 2012, she recorded Tchaikovsky's First Concerto and Rachmaninoff's Paganini Rhapsody with the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and Fabian Gabel on the orchestra's label distributed by Naxos. Now I'll begin reading the program notes for this concert. The first work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony is The Rock, Opus 7, by Sergei Rachmaninoff. Rachmaninoff was born April 1, 1873, in Oneg, near Novgorod, Russia, and he died March 28, 1943, in Beverly Hills, California. The premiere of The Rock was on March 20, 1894, in Moscow. The work was composed in 1893 by Rachmaninoff, and that first performance was conducted by Vasily Safonov. Here is an overview. Though he seldom burdened himself with study or regular class attendance, Sergei Rachmaninoff was one of the greatest products of the Moscow Conservatory. He wrote his well-known prelude in C-sharp minor in 1892, the year of his graduation. At one of his examinations, he played his own Song Without Words for a jury that included Tchaikovsky and was given the highest possible rating. When he left the school, the faculty unanimously voted to place his name on its honor roll. Among Rachmaninoff's first compositions as a new graduate was the one-act opera Aleko, whose premiere at the Bolshoi on May 9, 1893, so impressed Tchaikovsky again that he offered to have it produced with his own one-act Ailante. Inspired by these early successes, Rachmaninoff spent the summer of 1893 at a country home in Kharkov, composing the Fantasy Tableau for two pianos, Opus 5, three songs, a sacred choral work, the two pieces for violin and piano, Opus 6, and an orchestral fantasy, The Rock, Opus 7. The Rock was premiered by Vasily Safonov and the Russian Musical Society in Moscow on March 20th, 1894. Now, here's what to listen for. Rachmaninoff was always reticent about divulging specific programs behind his orchestral compositions. When he conducted the Rock for the first time in England in 1899, he called it simply Fantasy in E Major, though he did leave a clue concerning this work in the printed score. This fantasy is written under the impression of Lermontov's poem, The Crag. The composer has chosen as epigraph for this composition the opening lines of that poem, "The little golden cloud spent the night on the chest of the giant crag." However, in 1898, Rachmaninoff gave the famed writer and dramatist Chekhov a copy of the printed score with the inscription, "To my dear and highly esteemed Anton Pavlovich Chekhov, the author of the story, along the way, the contents of which served as program for this musical composition." These words left the British author and pianist Patrick Pickett to believe that Lermontov's lines merely symbolized the characters in Chekhov's story, which was, he claimed, the true inspiration for The Rock. In their study of Rachmaninoff, Sergei Bertinson and Jay Leda summarized Chekhov's little tale, which is set in a roadside inn on Christmas Eve with a blizzard raging outside. Here's the quote. "Two travelers traveling in opposite directions are detained here. A gruff, passionate, middle-aged failure, the giant crag, and a delicate and lovely young woman, the golden cloud. He tells her of his life and beliefs, the emotion in his voice drowning the storm's roar outside. In the brightness of Christmas morning, she is overcome with pity for him, but has to continue on her way as he prepares himself for his next painful failure." Now, The Rock is built from three themes, a gloomy opening stanza given by the cellos and basses, probably representing the man, a delicate arabesque-filled melody portraying the woman, and a passionate strain spun from a two-measure repeating motive. "The music makes us hear all the emotional imagery in Chekhov's story," wrote Bertinson and Leda. "It depicts the storm's angry whistle penetrating every crack, the bell sounds filtered through the driving snow, the sweet human music of weeping, and the story's final picture that sounds as characteristic of Rachmaninoff as it does of Chekhov. Snowflakes settled greedily on his hair, his beard, his shoulders. Soon the imprint of the sleigh runners vanished, and he himself, covered with snow, gradually assumed the appearance of a white crag, but his eye still sought something in the white clouds of the drifts." This work is arranged for piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, and strings. The next work to be performed by the North Carolina Symphony is the Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, Opus 43, by Sergei Rachmaninoff. The work was composed in 1934. The first performance was November 7th, 1934, in Baltimore, conducted by Leopold Stokowski with the composer as the soloist. Here is the overview. The legend of Niccolo Paganini has haunted musicians for more than two centuries. Gaunt, his emaciated figure cloaked in priestly black, Paganini performed feats of wizardry on the violin that were simply unimagined until he burst upon the European concert scene in 1805. Not only were his virtuoso pyrotechnics unsurpassed, but his performance of simple melodies was of such purity and sweetness that it moved his audiences to tears. So far was he beyond the competition that he seemed almost superhuman. Perhaps the rumor spread he had special powers, powers not of this earth. Perhaps Faust-like he had exchanged his soul for the mastery of his art. The legend propagated and fostered, it is now known by Paganini himself, had begun. Paganini, like most virtuoso instrumentalists of the 19th century, composed much of his own music. Notable among his output are the breathtaking Caprice for unaccompanied violin, works so difficult that even today they are accessible only to the most highly accomplished performers. The last of the Caprice, number 24, in A minor, served as the basis for compositions by Schumann, Liszt, and Brahms, and also the inspiration for Rachmaninoff's Rhapsody on a Theme of Paganini, which he combined with the ancient chant melody Dies Irae, Day of Wrath, from the Requiem Mass for the Dead. Now here is what to listen for in this work. The Rhapsody, a brilliant showpiece for virtuoso pianist, is a set of 24 variations. The work begins with a brief 8-measure introduction, followed, before the theme itself is heard, by the first variation, a skeletal outline of the melody. The theme, 24 measures in length, is stated by the unison violins. The following variations fall into three groups corresponding to the fast, slow, fast sequence of the traditional three-movement concerto. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: solo piano, piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage for its third and final work by Rachmaninoff tonight, the Symphonic Dances, Opus 45. Composed in 1940, the first performance was January 4, 1941, in Philadelphia, Eugene Ormandy conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra. Now here is the overview. World War I, of course, was a trial for Rachmaninoff and his countrymen, but his most severe personal adversity came when the 1917 revolution smashed the aristocratic society of Russia, the only world he had ever known. He was forced to flee his beloved country, leaving behind family and financial security. He pined for his homeland and the rest of his life, and did his best to keep the old language, food, customs, and holidays alive in his own household. But it was at best synthetic, wrote American musicologist David Ewan. Away from Russia, which he could never hope to see again, he always felt lonely and sad, a stranger, even in lands that were ready to be hospitable to him. His homesickness assumed the character of a disease as the years passed, and one symptom of that disease was an unshakable melancholy. By 1940, when he composed the Symphonic Dances, he was worried over his daughter Tatiana, who was trapped in France by the German invasion. He never saw her again, and he had been weakened by a minor operation in May. Still, he felt the need to compose for the first time since he completed his Symphony No. 3 in 1936. The three symphonic dances were written quickly at his summer retreat on the Long Island Sound, an idyllic setting for creative work, where he had a studio by the water in which to work in seclusion, lovely gardens for walking, and easy access to a ride in his new cabin cruiser, one of his favorite pastimes. Still, it was the man and not the setting that was expressed in this music. I try to make music speak directly and simply that which is in my heart at the time I am composing, he once told an interviewer. If there is love there, or bitterness, or sadness, or religion, these moods become part of my music, and it becomes either beautiful or bitter, or sad, or religious. Now, here's what to listen for. The first of the symphonic dances, in a large three-part form, ABA, is spun from a tiny three-note descending motif heard at the beginning, which serves as the germ for much of the opening section's thematic material. The middle portion is given over to a folk-like melody initiated by the alto saxophone, a rare instrument to find in an orchestral setting. The return of the opening section, which is with its distinctive falling motif, rounds out the first movement. The waltz of the second movement is more rugged and deeply expressive than the Viennese variety and possesses the quality of inconsolable pathos that gives so much of Rachmaninoff's music its sharply defined personality. The finale begins with a sighing introduction for the winds, which leads into a section in quicker tempo whose vital rhythms may have been influenced by the syncopations of American jazz. The movement accumulates an almost visceral rhythmic energy as it progresses, virtually exploding into the last pages and ending with a coda based on an ancient Russian Orthodox chant. Now, the instrumentation for this work is as follows: the piccolo, two flutes, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, bass clarinet, alto saxophone, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, harp, and strings. These symphony notes were written and copyrighted in 2017 by Dr. Richard E. Rota. You have been listening to Program Notes for Your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I will be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the entire 2017 and 2018 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast on the day before each concert series and will remain available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.